Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. You've come to that alternate location that will bring some guidance, some laughter guaranteed, some hope and encouragement. So these are some things that you will receive today. And in the studio today, this is the laughter part.
Yeah, you just guaranteed laughter. How can you guarantee laughter? I mean, somebody might not think it's funny.
Well, that's right. We're not on TV, so they can't see our faces. Because if they did,
that's true. They'd laugh.
They'd be laughing.
Yes.
We have the perfect voice or face for radio.
You've got the voice for TV.
See, look at that. See, they're already laughing. They're sitting there going, see, oh, my goodness. See, there's a guarantee. Okay.
They're laughing at us, not with us.
Hey, it doesn't matter. As long as they're laughing, that's all that matters.
All right.
We have a topic today. Some of you guys are baseball fans. You never backslide in there. You're always going forward, right? So we're going to talk about front sliding today. What does that look like? Because on Tuesday we talked about backsliding. Today we're going to be talking about front sliding. What's that look like? What's it sound like?
We coined the phrase, so yes. I mean, we have to define it.
Okay, we'll define it here in a minute. But in the meantime, we always like to kind of kick you guys off with a little bit of encouragement. It's kind of like the kickoff of a football game, right? You see that kickoff, you know it's going to go in the end zone, and there's going to be a timeout and a commercial, right? And they'll come back and they'll start to play on the 20. They kind of move that back to like the 25-yard line or something, the kickoff, you know, so we get some kickoffs.
Well, they moved the extra point back, you know that.
And they were going to. I didn't know if they did for sure. Did they really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's – anyway, how about some encouragement for our brothers this morning? You got anything that guys that you know that you've talked with lately that, you know, challenges and stuff?
When what happens with the heated weather is the eye candy comes out.
That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the one.
And the lust of the eye, one of the primary sins that we, especially as men, have. We're very visual.
Yes.
You know, and what we see, we like to look at. And women know that.
Job even had that problem.
No, hey, listen.
We talked about it, right?
A lot of people have it. And so the whole thing is, how do you have victory over your eye gate? And, you know, it's important that what we see is, we, you know, our eyes need to be holy just like the rest of us. So you can't control what's out there because it just comes into your vision. I mean, it's just there. The question is, what do you do with it? You know, I always say, you know, it's just sort of like dropping food on the ground. You got a 3-second rule.
Yeah, 3-second rule. It depends on what the floor looks like. Right?
Yeah, it depends on what the girl looks like too.
Yeah. My goodness.
No, I'm saying there's something out there that you wouldn't want to look at for a second. There's some people out there that don't know that spandex is not for women that weigh over 150 pounds or, you know, I mean, it's really some obscene stuff, but you know, so you can't control that. It's out there. And, you know, it's just frustrating for us men because, it's sort of like food. You know, I'm a food addict, right? I mean, I eat. I love to eat, and it's not always good for me to eat. But the problem is I can't like stop eating. I have to eat. And so it's like looking. You have to look because you have eyes to see. The question is, what do you see? And so if we can look at women and not objectivize.
What was that word?
Objectify. Objectify.
Objectify.
Yeah.
That's
to make them objects.
Oh.
As opposed to being persons.
Is that in your new dictionary that you have out?
Yes, yes. Okay. That's the one where we have forward sliding.
If you put this on a Scrabble board, I would probably
That's the one with forward sliding's in there, too. Same.
Okay, yeah. I don't want you to lose thought.
Yeah, you're going to lose my trend of thought, brother. When you look at a woman, what do you see? If you see a piece of meat, if you see something that you want to have sex with, if you see something that is not a beautiful creation of God, then you got a problem. Because we need to, as men, take it higher. And the animals, you know, sniff behind other animals, you know.
Man, we're getting really into it here.
We're getting deep,
morning,
man. We're getting deep. We're getting deep quick. Get deep quick. Animals sniff behind other animals. And that's the base level to operate on. You see a woman, you want to take her clothes off visually. That's not who we are as men of God. So we need to learn how to look at a woman and say, that's somebody's daughter. You know, that's one of the king's daughters, or she needs to be saved. You know, we need to take it higher. So, man, that we can look spiritually at somebody as opposed to looking at the flesh. And that's the objective. Can you do it? Try it. You'll see it works.
Well, see, I think what the real challenge is here, do you really want to follow Jesus? Are you going to follow him or are you going to follow your flesh?
Because Jesus didn't have to look at any naked women.
Yes, he did, brother. He was not blind. They said that he went through every temptation the same as what we do.
They were all covered up. No, women used to come and wipe his
it
feet with their tears.
It does not matter what they're wearing. And you know that as well as I do. Every man that's listening here, it doesn't matter what they're wearing.
Yeah.
If there's a good-looking woman that's wearing a huge coat and everything in the wintertime, you sit there and you can almost... Oh, my gosh.
I'm past that, brother. At my age,
No. I call that one,
I'm
too.
I'm past that.
No, I'm talking personally. I'm calling that, too.
Personally. Okay. She's got to be half naked for
but
me.
Age but age does not have to have anything to do with it.
Okay.
There are men who are pretty perverted who are in their 80s and 90s.
This is very true.
So, no, I'm not gonna give that one any reason.
No, I agree.
But it's on the individual.
I agree.
Because this is the type of thing where we sit there, we try to justify just even a little bit of saying, okay, you know what? I'm looking at her as, you know, God's holy creation, and she's beautiful, and she happens to be in a two-piece bikini. I could try to justify me keep looking at her because she's something that's holy.
But that's not holy.
No, I understand that, but yeah. I'm saying my own head. I'm going to justify everything.
We can do everything in our own head,
and that's where I'm saying that, man. And we know inside us, if we know the Holy Spirit, if we've accepted Jesus at one time in our lives, this is a thing called conviction that takes place. And you know what it is. You don't have to wait to hear it from somebody else. Hey, you shouldn't be looking that way. You already know. The Holy Spirit's kind of rattling inside, saying, hey, man, you got the light inside you. Why are you trying to bring darkness in here? You know? And it's just going to be uncomfortable. It's like a little mini earthquake in you.
Mm.
So.
And do you quench it or do you?
That's it.
Yeah. And so all of us, we can do that, though, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we listen and obey.
Because that power is available to us, man. Yeah. All we have to do is just lock into it.
Yeah.
You know, because we were there at one time.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it the other day. We talked about backsliding and what that looked like in certain things. You know, after receiving Jesus as not only my Savior, but as my Lord, the manager of my life. And what happens? We talked about that. You can listen to that on the podcast that we did earlier this week. But today, let's talk about what takes place after we end up accepting Jesus. How do we stay on this track? Because, man, just as we talked about, man, there's all these temptations, these lures. I mean, now I can really, after being a follower of Jesus, understand I can sympathize with the fish who are always being tempted with all these lures of somebody trying to catch them, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, look at that. Hey, Felix, look, there's a fly up there. Let's see. I think we can get him. Mm. Here, you go for him first, you know? Because I saw something shiny behind it, you know?
Mm.
My point is that that's what ends up taking place,
is
that we are all of a sudden, you know, drawn or tempted because our desire is to feel good, right?
Yeah, and that's the biggest problem. You know, we think that we're supposed to feel good and be happy by our own means.
Yes.
And once you realize that the way that you are walking is not the way that you should be walking, and you've said, okay, I'm listening now to the Holy Spirit. I see this. Repentance is a funny thing because a lot of people think repentance is I'm sorry. Repentance is not I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Repentance is a turn of your mind on what you're doing and saying. In other words, you see things the way God sees them as opposed mm-hmm. to the way you saw them before. Because like you said, we can justify anything to ourselves.
Yes.
It sounds good to me and I'm going to do it. But when God says something, it's different than what mm-hmm. we say.
Yes.
And so when we say, okay, I'm going to live by the word of God. Okay, boom. I turn from my wicked ways. But you know what? What happens then is, what do I do with my friends that I've been hanging out with that were doing wicked things?
Yes.
You know, because guess what?
Yeah.
You are what you hang with, yeah. You know? And here's what I found. If you're serious about changing, you mm-hmm. don't have to get rid of your friends. They will get rid of you.
That is so true. They stop inviting you to some of their gatherings, yep. their parties, yep. or whatever, because, no, yep. I don't do that anymore.
Right.
I don't do that anymore.
You are.
And they don't even want to hear the reason.
Nope.
They know.
Nope. So if you're, that's how you can tell if you're truly repentant and turned from your wicked ways. Your wicked friends will now disown you
yes,
because
yes.
you're not one of them anymore. They can tell that you're not one of them. Now, if you're still running with them same guys, nothing changed, brother. Nothing's
yes.
changed.
Yeah.
No matter what you tell yourself, if you go to church and you act, no. If those folks are comfortable with you, and you see, Jesus hung out with the sinners, but he didn't leave them as sinners.
Right.
When he left, they got sanctified
yes.
because of him. Now that's the way you would have to be. But you're usually not strong enough when you first turn back because you still got the bad habits that you had before. And so we're creatures of habit. So what do we have to do? We have to replace those old habits with new habits, habits that are going to take us further along the road to sanctification and being like Jesus than opposed to the old habits that we used to have.
Right.
So we have to take inventory of our lives.
And that's where a lot of times it ends up taking place. Guys end up saying, hey, you can't teach an old dog new tricks,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a trick.
No.
Okay.
This is
a reality thing where we have to unlearn things. I mean, as simply as even getting out of bed in the morning, we get out of bed differently than the way we used to,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Whatever that looks like. Hey, if you've never done it before, attempt going to your knees and thanking the Lord first before you start walking away from the bed and doing the things that you get your day going. Just get on your knees and thanking him, not acknowledging him. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, as a result of that, what ends up taking place, God starts to reveal certain things to you.
Yeah.
And he starts to bless us right off the bat, doesn't he?
Well, he wants to be part of our reality, and he rewards that. You know, because most people don't have God in their reality. You know, you go to movies, you know, and I see these nice movies. And they're nice movies. I mean, they're not necessarily bad movies, but I say, where's God? I mean, everybody worked on their own self and they made it themselves and it was all by themselves. But
yeah.
Nowhere do I see God because God's not in their reality. And so when we don't give God glory first thing in the morning and speak to him, talk to him, have fellowship with him. Now, you know, guess what? That habit is going to creep into the rest of your day. So the best thing to do, and I know, you know, King David, and he was a pretty good guy with God, a man after God's own heart. He said, you know, early in the morning, I will seek you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so seeking him, I go, you know, me and him have awesome time in the bathroom. You know what I mean? Guys, you got to think about something, guys. You got to think about something. You got to do something with your time. Don't let your mind just wander and think about anything and everything. Bring it in, rein it in. And
well,
think about God.
What's the verse? Says that we're to capture every thought.
Take captive every thought.
Right?
And
make it.
And align it up against the word and see whether or not it's something we should be thinking. But yeah, man, brushing your teeth, you're thinking about something. You know, sitting on the toilet, you're thinking about something. You are thinking about something. What is it you're thinking about? Thinking about your plans, thinking about what you're going to do instead of, you know, connecting with God and having that communion that he wants to have with you.
But, you know, so often we end up, again, being deterred or feeling, oh, man, I'm running late or I got no time. And all of a sudden you start getting into at the start of the day, the anxieties of the day, right? The worries, the challenges that, you know, are waiting for you,
mm-hmm.
right? When you either arrive at work or wherever it is you're going to be doing.
Right.
And that has a tendency of robbing us of being in the presence and even acknowledging God.
Sure.
because we rely on ourselves.
The enemy likes to hijack our calendar. He wants to own our time. Because, and it isn't always bad. It's not like you're sinning. But if you're not giving God glory and you're not acknowledging him, that is sin. Because you need to be acknowledging him. And, you know, things get busy, you know. You have to learn. You got to be diligent. You got to be determined, you know. I mean, wimps don't make it in this race. This race is a long, long distance race. It's not a sprint. It's long distance, and so you have to have perseverance. You've got to have all the things the Word talks about, and determination to get the prize. Because the enemy's out there, and he's got obstacles, he's got traps, he's got all kinds of things that's to stop you from being the man of God that you're supposed to be. And if you're not determined to make it, you won't.
So, let's go back to the start of this day. Okay, for all of us, I would like to think, as a general rule, the majority of us, whether you're going to end up sleeping somewhere in the day, whether it's the normal, in a sense, in the evening, wake up in the morning. But some guys work at night, right? They start their sleeping patterns just totally opposite. So you're awakening, okay, from a slumber, okay, from rest. Hopefully it's a good rest, you know. That's a big part of why we need to make sure we take care of these bodies, right? Because if you get enough rest, you're going to be able to be ready to take on what is coming.
Yeah.
Without it, you're going to end up giving in before you even get going.
It would be groggy.
You could say, okay, whatever. I'll start that prayer stuff tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start that time with God tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Okay. And procrastination is not our friend.
Right.
That's one of the things. That's back to that discipline that is required. It's a self-discipline. What do you think? Is that something that's wrong? Is that something,
self-discipline?
Self-discipline?
No, because self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
It's the last one, because you got to get past all the other ones before you can really get self-control. Because self-control is not easy. Because it's just not. Because we're so led by other things and other people. But when we're full of the Holy Spirit, then that's when we are qualified to control ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When we're not, then we wind up being controlled by other people and other things, because we're not qualified to control ourselves. See, God doesn't want to control us. He gives us free will. He wants us. He gives us the free choices. We have got to be determined to make the right choices, or we won't, because God's not going to make you. He's not in the making, I'll make you. You know, he does give us, give us many opportunities to fail, and then he just gives us more opportunities to fail. Until we get it right.
I look at them as opportunities to grow.
That's what they are. Yeah. If we learn from them.
Yeah.
If we don't learn from them, then we got to go around the mountain another time.
Yeah, brother, I've been around that mountain a few times in certain areas of my life.
Sure.
You know, it's like, oh, my goodness. Am I going to do this again? I really think it's going to be different, you know? Yeah, it's a different looking mountain. It's a different season. You know, I'm a little older. I'm a little wiser. I think I can probably handle it this time.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, you know, that we try to convince ourselves.
And we can hear the laughter as an echo in heaven. We hear that laughing at us.
Yeah, you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans.
Yeah.
Wow. See, there you go.
Wow, that was funny.
Oh, here's what's funny. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to break you, right? And we'll see what happens. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back in. We're going to continue talking about this. What does this look like, okay? We're just starting at the very beginning of the day, man, giving it all up to him. But what does it look like? How do we know if we really have trusted in God? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Sometimes you want something permanent to remember a special event, such as a groundbreaking for a new business or community park, or a monument to remember the life of a loved one. Whether it's a bench marker, bronze memorial, or a traditional stone monument, you'll find markers at the most affordable prices through Cascade Monuments. They even have special flag case memorials and keepsake urns. Shop at your convenience online by going to cascademonuments.net. Cascade Monuments, for an affordable, fitting tribute to the special places, events, and people in your life.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Felix and Raul in the studio. We're talking about moving forward, front sliding, we're calling it. That's our name. I don't know.
We've coined it. We'll hear it later on.
Someone's going to email or say, you know, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. We just don't know how to title it. We know what we're talking about. We just don't know how to title it.
It's the opposite of backsliding.
Yes. So. You're not backsliding. You're front sliding. Because you know what? There's no neutral in this life.
No.
We like to think there is.
Right.
We want neutral. We think when we're on vacation, we're neutral.
That's right. I'm just chilling.
Yeah. No, there's no chilling. There's no neutral, man. You're either drawing closer to God or you're drawing away from Him.
Yeah.
And when those are the only two, you know, you sit there and you go, oh, man. I better take another look at this, how I'm doing, you know, what I'm doing.
Yeah, hopefully when you covered backsliding, it's just, hey, are you moving forward or not?
Yeah.
If you're not moving forward, you're backsliding.
That's
because time is going forward whether you are or not.
That's right.
So just by the science, you're going backwards.
Yes, yes. It's kind of like being on that, you want an escalator type of thing.
Yeah.
What are those things in the airports now that you can stand on and it
people,
you don't have to...
People movers?
People movers, yeah, something like that. You get on them, you walk, you go fast without walking. If you walk, you're going really fast, a lot faster than people who are walking on the surface, right?
Sure.
And sometimes that's what we want. We want to be able to just, hey, have something else just move us forward, you know, to get us there quicker with less work on my part.
Yeah, but see, a people mover is not a good visual because if you stand still, you're still going forward.
Yes.
In actuality, it's going the opposite way because you have to make your moves in order to go forward.
Yes.
On a people mover, you can just stand there and you'll be taken away to heaven.
And a part of it,
that's what we think.
That's
life
the
is.
Easier, softer way. We're sitting there. That's what we want to be able to do. When actually Jesus says, "No, wait a minute here. This road is going to start wide." And it's going to get narrower and narrower and narrower. So what ends up happening is that we start to realize that there are things that are required on our part to do.
And things that we need to get rid of.
Yes.
And that's one of the biggest problems because we don't like to get rid of some of the stuff that we have and we've accumulated.
Speaking of airports, if we had to pay for all the baggage that we're carrying, we'd be dropping some stuff, right?
Absolutely.
I'm not paying $75 for that.
If you fly Allegiant, that's what you'd have to do, brother.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them except Southwest.
Yeah.
But anyway, but the fact is that, yes, if it required something from us, we would be, you know, saying, hey, no way, man, I'm not paying for that.
Right. And so that's the problem. We think we can bring that baggage into the kingdom, and that stuff is not supposed to come. And that's why it's hard for us. We're in the vestibule or the foyer or whatever you call it outside.
There's another word from the go ahead.
The vestibule. You never heard of vestibule?
Yeah.
It's the outside area.
Yeah, put barbecue sauce on it, man.
Anyway, you can't get into the. You're not really in the fullness of the kingdom because you got all this baggage that can't get in there. And so we've got to get rid of the baggage and before we can get there. And the thing is, we want to take all our stuff with
us. Okay, so here's the question. When you mentioned that, because we don't want to confuse anybody. When we're talking about the baggage, okay, if we've accepted Jesus, if we've truly have said, Lord, you know, I am yours. Forgive me for my sins. And truly, in your own heart, in your own mind, you have to let Him know what you're asking for forgiveness for. Not just this is not a general blanket forgiveness, is it?
Well, He gave blanket forgiveness, but for us to apply it, we need to apply it to specific sin.
Exactly. Because otherwise, we just think, hey, I don't have to say or do anything. Because we just think, when there is forgiveness from the Lord, He's sitting there, He's going to make us white as snow.
When we truly have repentance, we see what Jesus sees. We see how God sees, and He sees all, even the little, the sins we don't consider sin.
Yes.
You know, we just overlook it and wink at it. We think it's okay. It's not no big deal.
Yeah.
God, for God, all sin is sin.
You
look at the Bible, a liar is the same as a murderer to God. So we can't say, you know what, that doesn't matter to God. So when we repent, when we get repentant, we get the, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. That we get a gift of repentance from God because we don't have it in ourselves. So, but repentance is seeing things God's way. We see it, we turn from it, and we repent of it. And that's how we get, you get free of that. So you're talking about now salvation and.
Yeah, now all of a sudden, now we're past that part, but then we're talking about the baggage. And this is some of our behaviors, the way that we end up looking. You become aware of these are the things, hey, this is what I've asked for forgiveness for. You know, this baggage that I'm carrying or, you know, whatever it might be, whether it's the way that we do things or treat people. I'll just throw this out. Sarcasm, okay? I don't think there's any place in there that says sarcasm is a fruit of the Spirit, right?
Well, no, because it's not done in love.
Exactly.
See, the problem is anything not done in love is not part of what God wants. Mm-hmm. God is a God of love. Mm-hmm. Sarcasm is when you say something that is not flattering or beneficial to somebody. You know, the Bible talks about the things that we say, and we have to answer for every word that comes out of our mouth. So if it's not worthy of you standing in front of God and saying, it's not worthy of you saying,
right?
Because you're saying it in the presence of God anyway, because he's right there when you say it. And that's our problem. God is not in our reality. So we say things and do things that are okay to us, but wouldn't be okay to God, because God's just not in your, he's not in the room.
Yeah. So do we just sometimes just not take God serious enough, you
we
think?
We don't.
We take it for granted.
That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's no teaching about the Spirit. You don't find that in churches much anymore. There's no fear of God. It's just grace, 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 grace. And you don't have to fear God. God loves you. God's going to take you to heaven. And all you got to do is say the sinner's prayer and boom, it's over. You know, but that's not God. That's not who God is. God loves us so much that he doesn't want to leave us where we are. He's in the process of perfecting us and that's sanctification. And if you're his, he's committed to doing that. And if your life is really messed up, it's because you're not letting God do what he's supposed to be doing in your life.
Right.
You're not cooperating with him in the sanctification process because he's determined to do it.
Well, part of what ends up taking place is that we end up thinking, okay, our God is not the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of the New Testament. And yet,
there's more than one God, huh?
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I know.
But the point I want to make is that in a sense is that we sit there and we think, okay, what is it that God really is, you know, wanting us to do? Just to believe in him and stuff? And he wants us to believe in him, but we need to trust in him, okay, in all that is going to be taking place. Because what ends up happening is that we end up letting ourselves know, in a sense, that there are certain things that we can do and are not allowed to do or would not do. And really what it comes down to is that we should love God enough and showing his love by being obedient to him, right?
Yeah.
But as a result of that, what does he do? God loves us, but how does he show it to us? I was just looking up in James here where he talks about that he disciplines us.
Yeah.
God disciplines those he loves.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. And especially his sons. He disciplines his son just like you would discipline your son. And it's nothing wrong with discipline because discipline helps us to know what's right and what's wrong and keeps us on the narrow path. And we don't, but a lot of people see the opposite of being disciplined is being a rebel. And see, the biggest problem in all of us, there's a root of rebellion. In every one of us, it's just, and I find it in me, you know, I find it in everybody, and it's just the way it is. And we have to come against that and submit our will to God's will. Jesus did it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, man, is there any way out of this? My flesh doesn't want to do this. You know what? But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, Father. I will do what you say do. And that's what we all have to learn how to do, to submit our will to God's will and say, hey, I don't want to do this, but hey, you want me to do it? I will do this. That's obedience.
Right.
And
right.
That's obedience is better than sacrifice.
You know, this thing on trusting God, can I really be assured that he actually forgave me for my sins when I came to him? A lot of it just depends on, were you completely honest about asking for forgiveness? Were you just doing it just so that you can sound good, or because maybe the atmosphere, the people around you at the time and everything, it's like, hey, this is the right thing for me to do. Everyone will just really accept me a little bit more, and so on and so forth. See, God knows. He judges us by our heart. He knows exactly what's taking. We can't hide from him. Right. Brother, you and I, we laugh about our past when we were punks, right? Growing up in military service and even before that, that we used to do things in darkness thinking that God doesn't see this.
Right.
And he sees everything. Not only does he see it, he knows what you're going to do next. You know, and this is God. And we are just one of zillions of people that have been on this earth, right? Mm. And this is how awesome our God is. He knows everything about us because he created us.
And he still loves us.
And we put him in a box. Mm-hmm. We think, oh, he's just like one of the smartest guys around. No, he's God. He is God. You know, he is the one that allows you to continue your heart pumping blood through our bodies and our lungs to be able to breathe in the oxygen to be able to keep the bodies going, okay? Right. He's the one that says yes or no or whatever on this sort of thing. And we just can't conceive it.
No.
So what we try to do, we try to understand him, and we put him in a deal like, hey, my pastor, he's got to be just like God.
Yeah.
You know? No, he's a human being, just like you and I.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, there are certain degrees of glory that many have gone through and are at. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that what it comes down to is that we need to be able to just trust in him. Because I think that's a big part of why we don't continue on. We think, oh, God, I don't know if I can trust him in this.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons why we don't trust him is because we really don't know him.
Mm.
If we really knew him, then we would know that we can trust him.
Mm.
And that's what the Word is for.
Mm.
The Word takes you from Genesis to Revelation. It shows how God has been faithful. He's always there. Even when you're not faithful, he's faithful. See, and that's what you were talking about before, Raul, is that, you know, we're made in the image of God. God is not made in our image.
Mm.
So God is not like us. He is altogether more than, he is separate from his creation. So he is not like us. We are like him, but he is not like us.
Mm.
He's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. He's not like us. So he's faithful. He is steadfast, unmovable. There's no darkness in him. And he's not a trickster, you know, and he's not trying to fool us. No. God is, matter of fact, he's such a straight shooter that it's scary. You know, he says, you do this, I'll do that. You know, I'm saying, he lays it out, and he is faithful. So learning by reading the Word, seeing what God gives us as examples of men just like us who have done even things worse than us. David was a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was faithful to his Word, and he's faithful to his Word. So read the Word and have faith that he will follow and he execute his Word in your life. And that's the problem. People say, well, he'll do it for Raul and he'll do it for Felix, but he won't do it for me. Because we separate ourselves, and the devil tells us, you're unique. Your sins are separate. You know, nobody's like you. And so you can't trust God because, you know, he doesn't like you. You can tell by your da ba 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 ba.
Well, hold on to that ba 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 ba. Because we're going to come back and talk more about that ba 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 ba.
Speaking of times.
That's part of the thing as to why we are front sliding, because we're not listening to the ba 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 ba. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Wish I could remember that nobody's keeping score. I'm tired of throwing pennies.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. And hey, this is day one of the rest of our lives. That's
it
the way
is.
We have to look at it in this relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
This is the day he's given us. So let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah.
You know, none of us have a guarantee. And I just got word the other day from a friend of mine who told me about a friend that used to live around here that was part of when I got clean and sober and stuff, knew him for a long time, same age.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in another state, and he passed away.
Wow.
Now, unfortunately, it was because he was still living in that same type of challenges that I used to be part of.
Right.
And so now I get to go to his funeral tomorrow here in town. And his father just passed away here a couple months back. But my point is that none of us have a guarantee that we're going to be here tomorrow. But we always live life today like we're going to be here tomorrow.
Sure.
You know, oh, I'll just say, I'll apologize tomorrow. I'll just take care of that tomorrow. I'll, you know, I think I'll have more time later on this month or whatever it might be. The fact is none of us have a guarantee. We've all seen death come and snatch people out of our lives when too young.
Yeah.
And without reason or whatever. You sit there and you go, what happened? Why did they do that? Why did they make that decision? Why did they, you know, what? Why did God allow all this stuff? So none of us have a guarantee.
Nope.
But if we live today as if this was our last day, not going around mourning and crying and stuff, but living life as this is the last time that maybe I'll see Felix, right, or my wife or whomever it is, that I treat them with love, let them know that, hey, I care about them, okay, and that I treat them with respect and the people around me. If we live that way, man, there would be some huge changes in this community, wouldn't there?
Absolutely, because that's what people deserve. They deserve to be treated that way. And I've done countless funerals. I don't even count them anymore, where, you know, people are just mourning because there was something that they didn't say to that person
who's
laying in that casket.
Right.
And that unresolved, love or that emotion it's tormenting to them.
Right.
And so, especially if they're an unbeliever and they don't think they'll never see this person again ever, you know? So, the whole thing is that we've got to know that our God is faithful, that you know, there is, every day is a new day with him.
Yes.
Forget about what you did yesterday, because if you messed up yesterday and you repent from it, he'll throw it in the sea of forgetfulness, just like he did your original sins. And that's an important thing for us to realize, that repentance is not just a one-time thing. You know, you repent and then you get saved and then you don't have to repent anymore. That's a very bad theology, because we are going to sin. And when we sin, we repent from it and we turn from it each time. And we thank God for not being entrapped in it. And we struggle through it and we get the victory piece by piece and layer by layer.
Yes.
And so don't think that there's a one-time repentance. We got to constantly, just like forgiveness. It's not a one-time forgiveness thing where you forgive somebody for doing something to you. You have to forgive them every time you think about it.
That's right.
Because it's a constant thing.
And that segues into what we were talking about before we went to the break about the blah, 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 blah. All the stuff that the enemy says.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he is the king of liars.
Oh, the author.
I mean, that is what it's all about. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter. He says, be alert and sober and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Mm-hmm.
Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I love that because it reminds me of one, that I'm not alone in the suffering, in the temptation, in the challenges, that there are others doing the same thing. But there are those who are enduring even more, deeper sufferings than what we are. We know that in our world today. Here where we live, as you and I here in the United States, are, in a sense, not safeguarded, but it's different here than it is in other parts of the country. In Africa, where you're going to be going to, on the West Africa and in areas of the Middle East and stuff, things for the Christians are challenged. We're challenged too. but theirs is a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, it's more intense.
Okay, and the fact is that the enemy is wants to take us out. Okay, mm-hmm. The enemy is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these things that are taking place of the world are this is his realm.
Yeah,
God gave it to him. God created the world, but this is his realm. So what are we going to do? So we can, anyway, so in moving forward in this front sliding is truly, it's resisting the devil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he will flee from you. But you have to do what first?
Submit to God.
That's the key right there. And that's what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Submitting to God from the get-go, man. When your eyes open up in the morning saying, thank you, Lord, for this day. I don't know what is in store. I know what I have planned, but Father, may your will be done, you know?
Yeah.
And then move forward and hoping that you spend some time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, after all, you know, it's no different. So often many will, part of their day is going to Facebook to see what all their friends are saying and what's going on in the day, right?
Yeah, right.
How about let's go to Jesus first?
Yeah.
Let's go to the Word and find out what he is wanting to say to us through his Word. You know, as a result of that, we're going to be able to take care of some of these things that may be challenges and fears and worries that have been instilled in us.
Yeah.
Because we're relying on us rather than on God, right?
The arm of the flesh, that is a dangerous thing to rely on because we can't trust ourselves. And our bodies fail us, even great athletes. You know, one day LeBron James is not going to be able to do what he did the other night. His body is going to fail him, and as it is for all of us. And so the reality is, and we really know this, the only one we can trust is God.
That's right.
When it really comes down to it. You can't trust your mother, father, all you can trust is God. He's faithful. He is determined to be faithful. He cannot go against his word. He will not go against it. Mm-hmm. So we can trust him. And when we trust him, we're able to live the way. See, the problem is not being saved and going to heaven. The problem is being saved and living a life of that you're supposed to fulfill your destiny in. Because, see, the enemy, once you're saved, he knows he can't take you to hell. But if he can nullify you as a witness of God on this planet, he wins. See, he just wants to discourage you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to ruin your day and get you frustrated, angry, get you hooked into habits that you can't get out of, and have relationships that you shouldn't have. And if you do that, then it is. He wins.
Hey, brother, how about in 1 John chapter 1?
Mm-hmm.
It's 1:5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1. Why don't you read a little bit of that?
It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen. So really what it comes down to is that this is a promise that you know, that John is reminding us, saying, hey, this is what it's all about. It's about trusting in God and believing in him, not just believing, but loving him.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we love him? By being obedient to him.
Yeah.
And brother, that's, you know, once again, I said it earlier in the show, and I know this from my own experience, and I've listened to other men, that when we are shaken inside on whether we need to be doing something or we're attempting to do something, and there seems to be like conflict inside us, you know, confusion. Confusion comes from the enemy. It doesn't come from God. Our God is not a God of confusion. He's going to come right at you and let you know. But we just don't want to hear it.
Right.
But if we tune in to what it is that he has in store for us. I mean, after all, he created us. He's the manufacturer of these bodies that we have and the soul that we have. And if we want to know why it's not working right, let's go to the manufacturer and find out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it back to the store where you got it. Don't blame your parents. Go to the manufacturer, okay?
Yeah.
I love that when I first saw that come out of the Costco thing. Do not return this to the store. Return it to the manufacturer. Contact them. That's what we need to do, is get in touch with the manufacturer.
Yep. Sounds like a good plan.
So as a result of that, we end up doing a little bit of this front sliding.
Yeah.
We try to give you some ideas here today because really what it comes down to, brother, is all we have is today. Mm-hmm. This is the only day that we have. So what we do is can I submit to God completely for this day, just for this day? If I think, well, man, I don't know if I can do that for the whole day. How about, can you do it till noon? Can you do it till noon? Can you just submit to God completely till noon and just seek to do his will till noon? And then at noon, you can make another decision at that time. But right now, just can you do this? You know, I tell you what, it makes it so much easier. Yeah, we can have plans for what we want to do tomorrow and for the months and weeks to come and stuff, but we don't plan the outcome. We let God do that, right? Because he already knows what it is.
He does. And it's all good.
And look at you. You're just like, are you in the...
Am I in the zone?
You're in some kind of zone.
Oh, I'm just enjoying God right now. Holy Spirit's just all over me.
You know, one of the things about this is when we come up and we get on this media that we call internet radio, and we encourage you men to just persevere, to trust in God even more. It encourages ourselves.
That's right.
We hear ourselves. We're not just preaching to you. We're preaching to ourselves because, you know, brother, we're all in this thing together. You are not alone in this walk.
Yeah.
So know that and be strengthened
by
him.
Amen.
Okay. Would you pray for our brothers?
Oh, yeah. Father, I just ask that you would make yourself so real to my brothers that they would not be able to escape knowing that you're there, because we don't want to forget about you, God. Give them time during the day where you just break in their lives and remind them that they are loved by you and that they're your sons. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your perseverance with us, oh God, and we just give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.